driving. Bill Lane crosses up. Van Vliet, okie doke move, and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the left side. No good. But she's going to get on a rebound. Kicks it out. Kansas Sykes for three.
No, it's good.
She got it. Kansas Sykes for three.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
And we are live from the campus of Illinois State University. This is the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND and WZND.com. And a beautiful Thursday night here, week six already. Weeks are just flying by. It's that point, that time of year where you kind of just scramble up all your days and you just lose track of where you are in the year. But we're here for a reason now. We're talking some sports. A lot has happened since we were last here. We're going to be sitting down with Crosley Duncan, first open up the show from Redbird Hockey. He's a senior defenseman. We'll be sitting down with him. After that, we're sitting down with Katie Weimerskirtz, a freshman from Redbird Volleyball, as they open up MVC play at home this weekend. After that, we'll be talking some high school football. We'll be joined by news and sports guest Nick Imparo to talk a little Blackhawks hockey, talk a little general NHL as well. And after that, we're closing out the show as normal. The best segment in sports talk, the Pick Six. You're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Hey, this is Dickie B, baby, and you're listening to the Red Zone, baby, only on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to the Red Zone, 606 on the campus of Illinois State University, and we're just going to jump right into it. We're changing things up yet again. This is the second week in a row, actually, that we go two interviews. We never go two interviews in one show.
We never do. You know, we were kind of struggling to get one, and now we're kind of just firing away, getting two.
And now we don't like have enough time. Absolutely. We just have too many people to be on the show, but let's get to it. We're now sitting down with Crosley Duckman. He's a senior defenseman from Redbird Hockey, and Scott, you guys have kind of a connection, don't you?
We do. We met in like eighth grade. We're both from back kind of the north suburbs of Chicago. We played a little travel hockey together. And Crosley, again, thanks for joining us here today. And before we get started, I kind of want to go back and bring up youth hockey and just kind of like, what was it like playing travel hockey in Illinois?
Oh, I mean, travel hockey in Illinois is great. I mean, you know, you played there growing up, and I mean, it's awesome. You meet so many people, and what's really great about it is a lot of the people on the team now are from the same league that I grew up playing. So, you know, people that were once my opponents are now on my team, and it's just super awesome. You get to meet a lot of great people.
Yeah, and kind of playing with guys that you see around the ice so much, like, what is that, like, kind of growing up playing Illinois travel hockey and then now having them play college hockey with you at this level? I mean, so many people are coming from, like, junior and stuff like that. Can you kind of explain, like, your process to getting here as well as, like, kind of, like, how the chemistry is with kind of playing with these guys growing up doing summer skates and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I grew up playing baseball and hockey my whole life. So, actually, when I graduated high school, decided to go to Carthage College in Kenosha, Wisconsin, D3 baseball, you know, wasn't really my place, so decided to transfer here and play hockey, and it's been awesome. I mean, as soon as I got here, all the guys on the team immediately, you know, accepted me, made me part of the team, and they're just a bunch of great guys. It's awesome.
And you and Scott, you guys know each other. You're throwing around terms. You guys played travel hockey together. You're talking about juniors, and I know there's a lot of different, like, I guess, leagues, and I guess a process to get up to, I guess, professional hockey isn't as normal as other sports. You know, other sports, you play high school, you play college, you go pro. Can you just kind of break down those different kind of leagues at different levels and how the process is different from other sports?
Yeah, so for hockey, a big way to get noticed and to move up through the levels. And it's called junior hockey, like you've mentioned. And basically junior hockey is from when you're 16 to when you're 21 years old. You basically go live abroad, usually get a billet family. So you go and live with a family for the school year and for the hockey season. And basically you're just working as hard as you can to try and get to that next level. So there's a lot of different tiers, a lot of different leagues. So usually when you start, you're in one of the lower leagues and you're just trying to work and work and work to get up to some of the top leagues and then get noticed by either NCAA colleges or even professional scouts.
And you guys went 7-17-2 last season. We were kind of doing some research on you guys. How do you guys feel about this year? Like, what potential do you guys have? Do you have any new players coming in that you're excited about? You know, being like a senior, you're a veteran guy, and you've been here. This is your fourth year now. So, like, what are your expectations for this year?
Oh, boys are buzzing this year. Yeah. So, I mean, we only graduated 3 seniors last year, and we got a whole bunch of new freshmen that came in. A couple kids from the D2 team moved up to the D1 team. So, I mean, we just have a bunch of guys who are ready to just work and I mean, it showed against Missouri State last weekend. I know we won one game, lost the second one, but both games were hard fought battles, and that's how it's going to be all year. We're not going to make it easy for these other teams.
And you're a senior, and you said you guys only graduated 3 seniors last year, had a couple new guys come onto the team. But you being one of the seniors now, stepping into that kind of leadership role, kind of a mentorship role to those younger guys, you know, how does that affect your play this year, if it does at all, knowing that, you know, there might be a couple more guys on the team that are looking up to me now?
Yeah, so, I mean, it happens all the time. New guys come in, and, you know, there's the old clique that's always going on the team. So, I mean, the best thing to do, and I think we've been doing a great job of it this year, is just making sure that the rookies and the kids coming in know that they're wanted and that they're going to be involved in everything that we do. So it's nice.
And we know that the Flying Aces used to play at the stadium that you guys play at, and I'm pretty sure they folded. So you guys kind of took over that locker room. What is it like kind of having a new locker room? It's got to be pretty cool.
Oh, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, past couple of years, we've been keeping it in our equipment in a warehouse, and we'd have to drive and pick it up every single time. But, I mean, having this new locker room, I mean, it's beautiful. We got a hot tub in there. I mean, it's awesome. It's amazing having it.
And you guys play this weekend. You got a big game, actually. You guys play U of I in Champaign on Saturday and Sunday. And with you being a senior, this is probably most likely the last time you're going to see this team. So what does it like mean to you personally to play U of I, you know, a big rival like this?
Oh, I mean, I can't wait. I've been looking forward to it all week. I've been prepping all week. Even since last week, honestly, I've been prepping for this game. Every time I see them on the schedule, always circle the game, and I'm always excited to play against them. It's always a good game, and they're always pretty good, so it'll be nice.
And let's start to get into like the lighter kind of questions, a little more fun. All right, you're a senior, you've been playing hockey forever. What's that one moment in your entire career that you'll never forget about, whether it's, you know, a game-winning goal or a hat trick or something? What's that one moment that's always going to stick with you?
At one moment, my senior year, my high school team I played for, Maine Township, we made it to the state championship for hockey, and got to play in the United Center.
Okay.
So it was super awesome. Yeah, I mean, definitely a game I'll never forget. Sadly, we lost, but I mean, it was just being out on the United Center skating where the Hawks skate. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. And knowing you on a personal level, I know that you did some, you've coached some camps, some summer camps over the summers and stuff like that. Do you kind of see yourself after you graduate, do you see yourself kind of coaching and pursuing that, you know, with the job that you do, and maybe do that on the side, maybe be a head coach, coach travel hockey, and kind of give back to the community a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, almost every hockey player I've ever talked to, I mean, that's, you just love the game so much. And even though I'm stepping away as a player, I don't want to step away from the game at all. So I definitely want to get into that.
And we're starting to run a little short on time. I do want to ask you a couple things, though. I know there's a lot of brands out there, especially in hockey. There's brands. I mean, I've heard of most hockey brands, but I'll see a brand that I've never heard of. So what's your go-to brand for your stick?
For my stick, I love Warrior Sticks.
Okay.
Warrior Sticks are my favorite.
All right, if you were a GM in the NHL and you could pick one player to start your, like, to have on your team and kind of start your franchise, who would it be?
Connor McDavid.
Okay, Connor McDavid.
I knew that was coming. That was easy.
I mean, he's just so good.
We're going to fire some terms at you. For all the people out there that want to just know what hockey players are saying on the ice, because there's so many terms and things that we say that no one knows what's going on. So if you can describe these or give us the definitions or whatever it is, what they mean, whatever it may be, that'd be great, especially for our listeners. What does chirp mean?
Chirp? It's where you're talking smack.
Okay.
Go ahead, Scott.
What about a fishbowl?
Fishbowl, it's when you have a bubble. So it's a clear visor instead of a cage.
You see, I was kind of able to, like,
were you?
Guess
towards
that. Because
I know you're not a hockey guy.
Yeah,
I know
but I have no lettuce.
Yeah. Oh, lettuce. That's a good one.
I don't know what that means. I know what lettuce is.
That's your flow, man.
Oh, okay.
And those of you that can't see, Crosley's got some lettuce going on right now.
He does, yeah. He definitely
has some good.
There's a nice flow going on.
What's a twig?
A twig, that's your stick.
I knew that one, too.
So you got that one?
I don't know. What? Duster.
A duster.
Duster.
This is a big one.
You know, someone who sits on the bench and collects dust, doesn't really get to play much.
Scott's a duster.
Okay. And the last one, what is a dangle?
A dangle.
When you dangle someone.
It's when you deke someone, make them look silly.
You see, I like that. Okay, like that. Because, you know, basketball, you know, you break someone's ankle.
Yeah, you break the ankle.
I like that.
Out here, hockey players got
So do you say, I dangled him? Or
Some dirty dangles.
I like that. I like that. You see, hockey talk's nice.
Hockey talk is nice.
I like the throw sauce.
Last one, what's throw sauce?
Throw sauce? That's a tough one. It's a saucer pass. So it's a pass that you get up in the air and looks like a flying saucer.
You see, I thought that might have been going towards, like, fighting, you know, throwing sauce. I don't know. I get that.
If you could throw sauce, you're pretty legit.
Yeah?
I've
done it in NHL before, for sure.
Oh, of course.
Like, I've thrown those saucer passes in the NHL. Crosley, though, thank you so much for joining us. Redbird Hockey, Illinois State Hockey, at U of I this weekend, all weekend, taking on the Fighting Illini. Crosley, it was a pleasure having you on today. We're going to take a break. Up next, we'll be sitting down with Katie Weimerskirch from Redbird Volleyball. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Steph Jankowicz from Redbird Volleyball, and you're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
The Red Zone here on 103.3 WZND and WZND.com. We are going to make a quick transition now to the second guest of the evening. We now have the pleasure of being joined by ISU Volleyball's Katie Weimerskirch. Katie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And to start off, can you please tell us the story of this dance battle that has gone kind of viral on Twitter? We were watching it the other day. We were having a good time. So can you tell us, like, kind of what happened?
Oh, gosh. Sure. So basically what happened was there was something wrong with the rotations. So the refs were trying to figure out what was happening, and it was taking a little longer than it usually does, and they were playing music. So naturally I started to dance. I saw the other team, they started pointing at me. So I was like, okay. So I just, like, kind of looked at them and I kept dancing, and then it just turned into a dance battle. But
Katie, we got to know, like, where did you learn these moves? Like, did you dance in high school? Like, what's going on? Because you just broke these out of nowhere. I mean, they looked pretty good. They looked like you've been practicing. I don't know if you're doing it, like, in the mirror at night or what's going on.
I used to dance when I was little. I danced for, like, 10 years, but, like,
okay,
that
so
was
that's
more
significant. Like
yeah.
that's a long
so
time.
You knew what you were doing. You went up there, you're like, you know what, I'm on national TV, I might have to do something.
I mean, kind of. It was more like ballet and stuff, so I don't know. I just kind of did random stuff.
Okay. Well, kind of jumping in here, how has your experience been at ISU? I mean, you are a freshman, and you're coming in. I mean, we've been here for, what, like 6 weeks? I mean, I know you've been here over the summer.
Yeah.
But what was it like kind of adjusting coming here and, you know, being so young and coming on a team that had such a good year last year, and now you're coming as a freshman, you're getting some playing time, and, like, how are you gelling with the team?
Yeah, for sure. I think a huge thing is the older girls. they really welcomed us, and they've really shown us the Redbird way, and I've been with them all summer, and they've just really welcomed us and made us feel, like, comfortable, and I know I'm competing against a lot of them for playing time, but coach is big on competing with love, so I know, like, they support me. I want them to be successful. They want me to be successful, so I think that's huge.
Absolutely. And the team, you started very, very hot. You went 7-2. You had the Redbird Classic, which was insane. We got to be there for that. That was the coolest Redbirds volleyball I've ever experienced here. But then, unfortunately, the Buckeye Invitational didn't go as well as I'm sure you wanted. How are y'all looking to bounce back and get on the roll here heading into conference play?
Yeah, for sure. We had some really high highs and some lows after that, but now it's conference time, so everyone is 0-0 again. Like, preseason is over, so it's time to just reset. Our coach is big on that. Like, everyone is 0-0. No one cares what you've done up to this point. So I think this is good, just, like, start fresh and redefine Redbird volleyball.
Yeah, and tomorrow is Pack the Arena night, and that's big, and you guys have the MVC coming up. So what does it, like, mean to have home court advantage? How much does that really help you guys out?
Yeah, I think it's a huge thing, like, especially for our home tournament. We had so many fans, and you could just feel the energy on the court, and I think that definitely helped us play to the level that we did that weekend. So I think that when Redbird is packed, like, it's tough to play against us. Like, the other team definitely feels the pressure.
And kind of explain to us, like, what is Coach Leah Johnson like? I mean, obviously no coach wants to lose, no team wants to lose. So kind of bouncing back and losing three straight after a really good weekend, like, what was the chemistry like in the locker room? Were you guys down, or was it like, you know what, we got conference play coming, let's pick this back up?
Yeah, Coach Johnson is very calm and collected. She doesn't really get rattled very often, so she just kept us steady, like, even though, like, we were kind of down on ourselves after going 0-3 the past weekend. She just basically said, like, that was our off weekend. Like, we know who we are. That's not us. Like, we'll be fine. Just bounce back, and we'll be fine next weekend.
And transitioning a little bit, as a freshman, you're one of the youngest players on the team, but you've still been seeing some significant playing time this season, maybe more than you expected. How has it been like? What's it been like jumping into a larger role so early in your ISU volleyball career?
Yeah, it's definitely nerve-wracking just knowing that, like, tradition is a big thing and they've done so well the past few seasons. So just trying to play my best to get the team where I know they want us to be. And I think it's the older girls, they just hold us to a really high standard and they just expect a lot from us. So I think we've all just gotten used to that and, like, yeah.
And you bring up the older veteran players. Is there a name that kind of sticks out to you, someone that kind of took you under their wing and, you know, a veteran player that maybe kind of mentored you in a way?
I would say definitely Steph Jankowicz and Kendall Meyer. Kendall definitely because we're the same position, and, like, that's how I know she obviously cares about me and, like, competes with love because we are the same position, so it would be very easy for her to just, like, not tell me anything and just want me to do bad, but she definitely has pushed me to do better.
And we're going to kind of go, we have a little fun segment that we like to do. We had Sydney Holtz on last time.
Okay.
And we kind of asked some questions, and we want you to kind of tell us on your team who it relates to and who would it be.
It's like your senior superlatives, but for your teammates.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if you're going to want to talk to Sydney about this, but we asked her who the best dancer was on the team last time we talked to her, and your name, I don't know, it didn't pop up.
Wow. I'm definitely going to have to talk to her about that.
We're going to talk to her. So we're going to get going here. All right. So the first question we have for you is, who has the best Snapchat stories?
I would say probably Sarah Kushner.
Okay.
Another freshman.
All right. I know you guys have been in season since you've been here, so you might not have the most experience, but who is the biggest life of the party or the highest energy on the team?
I would have to say Emmy Ogagar.
Okay. All right.
And we were told last time too that you guys have dance parties before every game.
Oh yeah.
So is that just something you guys do to get what prepared? Like, you get like loose.
Just get hyped,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It definitely gets us hype. We always listen to like really hype songs, like Turbulence, the song that plays right before every game, and we just go crazy.
Okay.
The next one is, who cares the most about the clout they get on social media?
I don't think I want to answer that question.
All right. No pressure on that one.
All right, we'll ask you a little easier one then. Who's most likely to appear on The Bachelorette?
Oh, gosh. Steph Jankiewicz.
Steph Jankiewicz. Okay.
All right. A couple more here for you. Who is the most likely to drop out of school and become a stand-up comedian?
Carly Nicholson.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't even much of a thought. What's that all about?
She's just hilarious. She always makes me laugh.
Okay. All right. So we got the last one here for you. Who's most likely to lock their keys in the car?
Ooh, Ali Otten.
Allie,
I feel like
Otten,
she's always forgetting stuff.
Throwing Ali Otten under the bus.
Love you, Ali.
Okay.
Well, Katie, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Tomorrow is Pack the Arena Night for ISU Volleyball, their opening conference play against the Missouri State Bears. Game time is at 6, so make sure you go out and support them. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to have Nick Imparo, our news and sports guest, with some amazing news. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. And welcome back to the Red Zone. Barstool Big Cat, it has to be the best bump into the show we have. It's by far my favorite.
It really does. I mean, having him on and having him do that, it's awesome.
Right. All I'm saying is I haven't heard another sports talk show that has a bump in from Dan Katz.
No, I think we're the only college radio station that's got him on. So that's definitely got
to
mean something.
Right? Has to. We're diving into high school football now. We've tried upping our high school football coverage here because we all know there's a lot of schools here in Bloomington Normal, and there's some pretty good schools here too. So what we're going to do now is we're going to try to introduce something a little different. I won't explain too much. I'll just let it go, and we'll see how it goes. So let's turn things over to Joey Dwyer, and he's going to take it away.
It's time for Thursday Night Lights on the Red Zone. We start just up the street with the U-High Pioneers. They've had a rough start to the season, and it did not get any better with last week's 31-19 loss to the Jacksonville Crimsons. They look to bounce back this week and get their first win against the struggling Lamphere Lions. Heading south on Main Street, you get to Bloomington. The 2-2 Purple Raiders are playing to avoid falling below 500. Junior captain QB Ben Wellman and the rest of the squad are getting set to make quick work of the 0-4 Urbana Tigers at home. Coming back to the 6-1-7-6-1 Normal Community Ironmen. They're hoping for a quick turnaround after their road trip to Michigan last week did not go as planned. The Lapeer Lightning had their way with the Ironmen in a 42-8 routing. Community should have an easy dub this week, however, taking on 0-4 Manual. And finally, the only team coming off a win this week in the area, the Normal West Wildcats, put a beating on the Purple Raiders last week, 31-16. This week will be a test for the Cats, however, as they're going to play host to the explosive, undefeated Peoria Lions.
Wow. I was sitting here biting my pen. I could not stop smiling. I'm hyped right now. I love that.
Joey, you just made me love high school football even more. I'm so hyped for Friday Night Lights.
Hey, you got to keep the energy bumping, boys. It's all about the high energy. High school football, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. I can't even put into words the energy that goes behind it. Standing on the front line with your chest all painted and stuff. It's an experience out of this world.
No, there really isn't anything like it. I mean, you're out there, you're supporting your team, you're supporting your school. You got your friends out there, whether it's a boyfriend out there for some girls in the stands. You know, it's so fun to really just participate in that. And it's something that everybody, if you're out there listening, if you're in high school, get involved with your school, because after high school, you're going to really wish you did.
No, yeah. And I never played, unfortunately, but high school football, it's a different game. It's a little different when you're – how old are you in high school? 16, 17, 18?
You're about probably like 15 to 18.
15 to 18? Yeah, I've been gone. It's
I think
been
I was
16 years.
My sophomore year. 16 before
okay.
My sophomore year.
And yeah. It's like 14
when you're
18.
Out there on the field and like literally your entire school is just – in the stands,
I mean,
watching
it's
you
play.
It's
got to be at least 3,000 people,
right?
4,000 people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And especially like coming from Iowa, like there's nothing to do except go watch high school football on a Friday night, you know?
Yeah, and it brings people out. It gives you something to do on Friday nights. The whole week you're in school going to class, and the whole, you know, the whole school is buzzing about it. They're talking about who they're playing. You got all these rivals out there. And high school football, man, it's something.
Fridays are big, especially here. You know, there's a lot of high schools here. There's not many professional sports teams in the area. So high school is big, and let's dive into probably the biggest matchup from the area. We have, as Joey said, we have Normal West traveling to Peoria to take on Peoria, and what a game. What a game we have in store. We have two really good teams. Normal West is 3-1. Peoria is 4-0. Peoria has a super high powered offense, but Normal West, they have a quarterback that goes by the name of Carson Camp, who's good.
This is going to be a fun game. I know you went to Normal West this last week. Scotty and I went to Normal West a couple weeks ago. But they are a fun team to watch. But this Peoria team is unreal. They're averaging, what, like 64 points a game or something like that? It's insane.
No, they're playing unbelievable. And the thing about a guy like Carson Camp, you bring him in here, he doesn't just attract, you know, fans that are, you know, parents, friends, family. I mean, he's attracting people. I'm from 2 hours north of here, and he's getting me to come out there and want to watch him play. So
I know.
I'm sure he's getting a bunch of people.
Not only is he attracting people from around the area, he's also, scouts are looking at him. We were talking to Coach Fincham, and he's getting recruited by D1 scouts, and so he's going to go D1 somewhere, and he absolutely deserves it. He's an animal.
Yeah, and I got the chance to go out to practice last night with News and Sports intern Leo Stoddaher, and I think Leo looked it up and said that Carson had committed to South Dakota.
Oh, really? Okay. Wow.
He's going to a hometown rival right there.
You're
from Bloomington Normal. Wow. You're going to play at South Dakota.
And that's hard, because when you're watching him play now and you're rooting for him, and then it's like, now he's going to be your rival. He's going to play against the Birds, and it's going to be cool, though. Hey, good for him.
Hey, good. Yeah. I mean, we're not hating on him for signing.
Hey, I'd sign D1 anywhere if I had the chance to. But we got to go out to practice yesterday. We got to talk to Coach Fincham. And this Normal West team actually coming off of two very impressive wins. If you look back 3 weeks, they lost the Chili Bowl, a very close game, that's somewhat of a heartbreaking loss. But this team bounced back, so they have two straight wins. So we got to talk to Coach Fincham, and this is what he had to say about the team's current morale heading into a really big matchup against Peoria.
You know, I think our guys are feeling pretty good right now. Obviously, against Normal, we didn't get the result that we wanted, but we took a lot away from that game, and I think we've really kind of fixed ourselves a little bit and improved over the last 2 weeks in some areas where Normal exposed us a little bit. So, and some guys that were playing in their second varsity game are starting to get that experience, start to play some like some actual varsity football players.
So this Normal West team finding their groove since that Chili Bowl game, and like we said, they have Carson Camp. I think he threw like 5 more touchdowns last week, or he threw an absurd amount of touchdowns last week. A lot of confidence within this team, though, within the locker room, within the coaching staff, within this team, the school. So big game coming up against Peoria. Peoria, we talked about a high-powered offense, high-powered defense. But before we transition into hockey talk, what do you guys think we're going to see out of this game? Because we have two of the better teams, if not two of the best teams in the region.
I mean, I think that as much as I like to be a homer, and as much as I would love to cheer for Normal West, I don't know if you guys have watched any of this Urbana's 0-4, yeah. Very opposite. Peoria film, but this team is just unreal. It's like I'm watching college football. The way that they operate, it's so clean. They're so good. I'd love for Normal West to win, but I just don't see how it's possible.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very offensive game. I think Carson Camp's going to throw for a couple touchdowns, maybe rush for a couple touchdowns, and I think it's going to be definitely one to watch.
No, it's definitely going to be a good game. Coach Fincham has a lot of faith in his defense, because if you look at Peoria's defense, they can score. They can put up the points, but their defense can also let that other team run up the score a little bit. But we have a great game on our hands. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a high-scoring game. I don't see much defense getting played in this one. There's going to be a lot of scoring on both sides. That's coming up on Friday night. Normal West will be in Peoria. We're going to step aside and take a quick break. When we come back, we'll sit down with Nick and Paro and talk a little Blackhawks hockey. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. Welcome back to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. Hector Carrion, Scott Rizal, and Joey Dwyer now sitting down with Nick and Paro to talk some Blackhawks hockey. And it's hockey season. This came out of nowhere. I remember 2 weeks ago they started preseason, and I was like, what's going on? The MLB playoffs haven't even started, where it's like week one in the NFL. But it's here. It's time. The Blackhawks are starting up soon. And, Nick, they had kind of a rough season last year. What do you see out of this team so far this preseason?
Yeah, Hector, you know, we sat here last semester. We were talking about how, you know, Quenneville had just gotten fired and they were going through a lot of transition. And now we sit here, you know, the Hawks are going to have a full season under Jeremy Colleton, which excites me, a training camp under him. I'm expecting better things this year. They missed the playoffs 2 years in a row, but I am expecting I see this team as a wild card team at least. Stan Bowman went out in the summer. He made some transactions that were needed to be made. He reassured the back end. The defense looks about as strong as it's been in a few years here. Got a Vezina Trophy finalist goalie. I would say, in my opinion, the Blackhawks probably have the best goaltending tandem at the moment. But, yeah, I'm looking for a bounce back season, to say the least.
So you're sold on Dahan and Ali Mata then?
You know what? I'm not completely, sold. I'm not going to sit here and say that they were top A upgrades.
Yeah,
but if you look at the last two seasons, they are much better than what we've had.
And I'm absolutely with you on that. There are some people who think that Stan Bowman didn't do enough on the back end because, you know, you've got that brutal Seabrook contract and his decline has been unreal. So it's still a little disconcerting to some fans, I know, but I agree with you on most of those points.
I want to take it back really quick to the goaltending situation. You said that you think we have the best goaltending tandem back there, and I have to disagree. Corey Crawford has not been healthy in the past, 2 years. And that's something that comes to mind when you're, you know, watching the games. We lost so many games last year because of our defense and because of our goaltending. And I know Cam Ward, you know, he's had a good career, but when you play for the Hawks and you're letting up 5 goals and you're scoring 4, you should not be losing those games.
Scotty, I definitely respect what you're saying, but here, let me say this. I don't know how far we're going to go back here, but Cam Ward, I mean, the defense was bad last year. They were horrible. Really, really bad. But let's talk about Crawford for a second. Corey Crawford, you can't really fault a guy for being injured. He's had head problems, and you know what? If he's had other problems that we don't know, it's speculation. I know you mentioned on the show a couple weeks ago about this and that, but we don't know that for sure. We were told he was injured, you know, with concussions. But here, let me say this. When Corey Crawford plays, he's one of the best goaltenders in the league. When if you can get a healthy Corey Crawford this year on top of a Vezina finalist in Robin Lehner, you have the best. I don't know who is better than those two between the pipes, Scotty.
When I can name about 15, Nick. When Corey Crawford is healthy, he is not even a top 15 goaltender in the league.
Oh, Scott.
No,
Scott,
and
come on.
And that's not even, and I'm not even being biased because I'm a Blackhawks fan, but Corey Crawford, guys, yes, you can't blame him for getting hurt, but when he's hurt and he's on the bench, he is not producing.
Scott, do you hear what you're saying right now? In their runs to the Stanley Cup Finals,
yes,
there were games.
Luongo had a good career.
Yeah, and
towards the end of his career,
Scott, you're not listening.
Goalies start declining. And Corey Crawford has been declining for the past
but
2 years.
No, he
was
hasn't.
He hasn't.
He's just been hurt. There's a very distinct difference.
But athletes that start getting hurt start declining. Look at Patrick Sharp. Look at Marian Hossa. Marian Hossa is a veteran guy who's going to be in the Hall of Fame. But his last 2 years, he was struggling. His last couple games of his last year in the NHL, he struggled, and now he's not even in the league. And that happens with a bunch of athletes.
And you can't say that Scott's wrong on that point because it's not just hockey. It's literally every sport on the earth. You're going to have a guy in his prime. You'll have the Corey Crawford that took you to the Stanley Cup, but that's not going to be the Corey Crawford you're going to have his entire career. And that Scott, he's declining. He is. Because if he was still as good as he was, if he was the 25th, the Stanley Cup winning Corey Crawford, then you'd have a solid team.
And I don't disagree with that because there is a reason they went out and got Robin Lehner. But what I'm saying is he came back last year. He suffered his second concussion. He hit his head against the post. That was a concussion, Scott. Everyone saw that. You know, it was clear as day.
The man's 34 years old. He's 34 years old. He's not getting any younger.
Scott, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves. Taves was coming off his best year of
his
career.
Patrick Kane's 30. Jonathan Taves 31. That's a 3-year gap. Patrick Kane is a future Hall of Famer as well.
Scott,
Patrick Kane's one of the best players to play the game. But he might be the best American player.
Scott,
so you're bringing up guys that are going to be having statues outside of our stadium compared to Corey Crawford, who had an unbelievable team.
But you can't forget about what Corey Crawford has done for the organization. You've won twice with him in between the pipes.
Here's the thing. You can't forget about what Corey Crawford did for your team.
Absolutely not.
But it's about what he's doing for your team right now.
Exactly.
We're not sitting here, oh my God, Michael Jordan.
Derrick Rose.
Right? We're not here, Derrick Rose. They've been here. They did what they did. They moved on. Their careers went on a downhill. That's what happens. He's getting old. He's not in his prime anymore. He's gotten two concussions. Everyone knows in every sport, it's just not hockey, not football, baseball, basketball, volleyball, soccer.
Not even the concussions. He's got AA problems, too. He has mental health problems, too. Having it in between the ears, that space in between the ears, you need to have it as a goalie. And when you're kind of struggling and you're struggling with mental health in any sport, especially a goaltender, when you need to be grounded, that is a problem.
Okay, so if you're taking it from the mental health angle, then I can see why you think both of our goalies, because Robin Lehner had his whole thing about why he was the comeback player of the year. But this, like, let's say that Corey Crawford is on a decline and it wasn't just his injuries and he's just getting old, you still have Robin Lehner, who is a very, very proven, very good goaltender, who's also like 7 years younger than Corey Crawford. So I don't know. I don't know how goaltending is going to be your biggest concern about this team when you have Corey Crawford, who I don't think is on the decline. And even if he is, you have Robin Lehner, who is also like very deserving of being a starting goaltender in this league.
Joey, I agree with you. Let's just, you know, we have our speculations about Crawford. Let's give Crawford, he's healthy. He's healthy right now. Let's give him a full year. We'll talk about it at the end of the season. I hope I don't eat my words. If I do, I will tell you guys. But let's give Crawford a chance. He's healthy for the first time in, what, maybe 2 years now? Year and a half? Whatever. And then you have Lehner.
I think he's healthy. I mean, if he's 100%,
and,
we don't know.
And you guys, yeah, Corey Crawford, yeah, he could be good still. But if the Blackhawks organization truly believed that you're going to have the Corey Crawford that you had when you won the Stanley Cup, you wouldn't have the backup goalie. He wouldn't be on the team. Joey said he's deserving to be a starting goalie.
And we didn't have a lot of cap space.
Exactly.
So when you're going out and you're reaching for a goaltender, Bowman is – I trust Bowman. I respect it.
I mean, Stan Bowman is not to talk bad about another man's job, but his should be on the rocks a little bit after a couple of the decisions he's made in the last couple of years. This last offseason was the first good offseason he's had in 3 years.
I definitely think he's made some questionable moves throughout the years. He's made some good ones. He's really, for example, a really good one that everyone knows was Dylan Strome.
Yeah, Dylan Strome, that was huge.
I'm excited to see Strome in a full season in a Blackhawks sweater. That's going to be exciting.
Andrew Shaw as well. That was huge over the offseason. That's a huge locker room guy
for only three picks. He's made some good moves. The only move that, honestly, this offseason I'm a little questionable on was the Alex Nylander deal for Joki Haru. That deal, I mean, Joki Haru was obviously a prospect, so you didn't know what you were getting out of him. He didn't impress enough in his few games he had in Chicago in the beginning of last season. But that, you know, Nylander's been good in the preseason. He's been a little lazy off the puck, but I'm a little questionable. Hopefully I eat my words on that, and he has a good year. That's if he starts in Chicago, and we'll see.
And I really like Nylander too. I think Joki Haru, he had his chance. Like he was in the organization for a couple of years. They just didn't like what they were seeing, the progression. So I really like Nylander. He's so young too. He's like 21 years old, and I think he's going to be a force to reckon with in the years to come.
I agree.
So we have the preseason wrapping up soon. Is the last game on Saturday? Is that the last preseason? I know they play the Bruins. Is that the final preseason game?
So technically it's the final preseason game in North America.
Yeah, because don't they go – is it the Hawks that go somewhere? I know there's teams that play in, like, Europe or something.
Yeah,
right?
So actually the Hawks will be traveling to Germany to take on an EIS team, some, you know, international team.
Yeah.
Those international teams, they're good.
Hey.
I mean, hockey, like, the KHL is better than the AHL, and – so those international teams, that's a good little warm-up match up there.
It really is. So that should be an exciting game. That game actually is on TV. And then they open their regular season. They're part of the Global Series, so they're going to travel to Czech Republic, take on the Flyers on October 4th. That game's actually a 1 o'clock start. See you guys at Brujas. So that's, you know, we're right around the corner here. Hockey's here. I mean, it came quick, Hector. I was listening to the show a couple of weeks ago, and it's funny you mentioned how, you know, someone, I forget who it was, told you, let's talk hockey. And you said, hockey, it's only September. But hockey's quick. You have a couple of days of training camp. You have the festival, a couple of preseason games, and you're off and running.
No, yeah, it definitely came out of nowhere. So season starting up, they didn't look very good. They looked awful last night against the Capitals. They have the Bruins coming up, and then they take things over to Europe. We're running out of time, though. Scott has one more thing to say. We'll let Scott say what he has to say before we take a break.
Just playing, being a hockey player and growing up, it's so any sport, But hockey, especially, when it's that early, you cannot judge anything on preseason. It doesn't matter if it's the starters. Hockey is a game that takes so much repetition. It's a game that's so uncomfortable. It's unlike any sport. You're on a half inch of steel. So, yes, it's their starters. Yes, it doesn't look good, but it's preseason. Give them a couple months, they'll be just fine.
I think that hockey shows you the most preseason in the preseason games. I think you can take the most from hockey than any other sport.
Scotty, I agree with you. The only thing that worries me about the Capitals game last night was they played a lot of their regulars.
Yeah,
their starters,
that's what I'm saying.
The guys you're going to see in Europe versus Philadelphia.
And
so that's the only thing that worries
me. You're going to see your starters, but teams start out slow. And when they start out slow, yes, it's worrisome, but trust me, you got to get that rust off. The team's trying to gel, get that chemistry going. It's kind of a really refreshing team. That's something you're just going to see until they kind of build that chemistry.
So we'll see how things go for the Blackhawks. We'll have Nick on. He'll come back on later in the semester. It'll be middle of the season, so we'll see what state Blackhawks hockey is in. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. It's Pick Six time. You're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Brady Davis from Redbird Football, and you're listening to Red Zone on 103.3 WZMD.
Brady Davis bringing us back into the show off of a stellar performance at home last weekend against Northern Arizona. But aside from that, it's time to dive into the best segment in all, I said all, of sports talk radio. Scotty, you know what time it is.
It's the Pick Six. Only on the Pulse of Redbird Nation. 1033 WZND.
Oh, I love hearing that. I hear that. It's the best part of the show when we get to listen to that.
It gets me ready to go. It gets me ready for these picks. Hector, how about you tell us who we got?
Ooh, all right, we're gonna show you guys the standings first, because last week everyone except the guests went 5-1. Guests went 3-3 last week. Everyone else, myself, Joey, Scott, and Steve, went 5-1. So we look at the standings at a three-way tie for first. We've been tied since the first week of Pick Six, up at the top at 11-7. It is myself, Joey, and Steve.
It's great to be on top of the board, Hector.
Right? I said it, and Joey, we're still at the top. We're not going to leave the top of the standing. Sitting underneath us,
sole possession of fourth. Every single week, and I can't just buy a game.
Sole possession of fourth place, Scott, at 10-8, sitting at the bottom, like usual. Literally, like usual, you look back to last year, it was the same thing. The guests at 8-10. So let's dive into these picks. It's a big week. I could see someone going 0-6. I could see someone going 6-0. So we'll kick things off with Scott. Scott, tonight, Thursday night football, we have the Eagles at Lambeau taking on the Packers.
The Eagles are pretty banged up. I'm going with Green Bay. They're going to go 4-0.
Nick, who do you have?
For my guy, Nicky Zoobs, who's listening, I'm going to go with the Packers.
Yeah, I hate to do it because the Packers are an absolutely filthy organization, and I hate to give them any respect, but they're a good team this year, so I'm going to pick them over the Eagles.
I like that. Steve went with the Eagles. I understand why you guys are going Eagles. Steve went Eagles. I'm going Packers, though. Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. Come on, you can't bet against Aaron Rodgers. After that, this is a solid matchup, too. Titans at Falcons. Scott.
You know what? I'm going to be a little biased here. I like the Falcons, but I'm going to have to go with the Titans just because I have some people close to me that are Titans fans, so I'm going to be rooting for them with her.
Battle of the 1-2. I'm going with the Falcons.
Yeah, the Titans just looked so bad on Thursday Night Football last week. I got to go with Atlanta.
I'm going with Atlanta. Steve's going with Atlanta. Moving on. This is a big game for Steve. We all know how he's picking this one, but we have the Chiefs in Detroit taking on the Lions. Scott.
I'm going to have to go with the Lions on this one.
I got the Chiefs.
Scott, I have no idea how you're taking the Lions. That's absolutely ludicrous. Patty Mahomes is a dog. It's Chiefs all the way, all day.
Steve's going Lions. I'm going Chiefs. No doubt about it. Patty Mahomes just got that 99 overall in Madden. He's not losing another game this year until he plays the Bears. After that, we have the Browns and the Ravens. Scott, who are you taking?
You know what? I'm going to have to go with the Browns here. I think Baker Mayfield's going to have his first breakout game of the season. We're going with the Browns.
Baltimore, going with the Ravens.
I'm so excited for Scott to go like 2-4 this week. This is going to be Ravens all the way.
Yeah, this was an easy one. Steve's going Ravens. I'm going Ravens. Scott, you're the only one that went Browns?
The only one that went Browns. I believe in Baker. I believe in the offense.
All right. I hope that turns out good for you. After that, the game we've all been waiting for, the game we're all looking forward to, the Vikings are in Chicago at Soldier Field taking on the Bears. Scott.
I love my Bears more than any team, probably any team, but I think the Vikings are going to take this one. We're going with the Vikings.
This was definitely the hardest one to pick. As Scotty mentioned, we're both Chicago boys, and you know, everyone listening in Chicago wants to hear the Bears, but unfortunately, I'm going with the Vikings. Battle of the 2-1s, and Minnesota's going to take it, in my opinion.
You two should be ashamed of yourselves. my sister bought me tickets for my birthday, so I'm going to be at the game, and I'll tell you what, I'll be dead before the Vikings win this game. We're going Bears all the way.
And yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of smart if you look at the standings, but Steve took the Vikings. I'm taking the Bears. What I get from those picks is that's 3 losses and 2 wins for me and Joey. So that's just going to, you know, clear things up at the top of the standings. Steve will finally fall down. It'll just be me and Joey at the top. And the final game, Sunday Night Football, Cowboys-Saints. Scott, who you taking?
Taking Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys.
So I had originally had the Saints. Then I got a text from my brother, weekly listener of the show, saying that Breeze is out. I completely forgot about that. Completely changed my pick. Thanks, Frankie. I'm going with the Cowboys.
Yeah, shout out to Frankie. He knows what he's talking about. It's gonna be Cowboys all the way.
Yes, Frankie's a smart man. I'm going Cowboys. Steve taking the Saints. All I'm gonna say is the Saints, we doubted them last week against the Rams, and they won. So, and they're at home. I'm still taking the Cowboys. It's going to be a good game, though. That's going to wrap things up. That's the end of our show. And what a show it was. We opened things up with Crosley Duckman from ISU Hockey. A big shout out to him for taking time to come into the studio, be live in here with us. After that, we had Katie Weimerskirch. Another big shout out to Katie Weimerskirch and Redbird Volleyball for making time for us coming into the studio. They're opening up MVC play at home this weekend. First game is tomorrow. They take on Missouri State. You can catch that entire game right here on 103.3 WZND, the Pulse of Redbird Nation, starting at 5:50. It'll be myself and Nick Imparo on that call, actually. So it'll be two familiar faces, voices, actually, excuse me. But that's going to do it. Nick, thank you so much for coming on, doing the newscast, talking a little Blackhawks with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to our broadcast tomorrow, MVC play. We're gonna kill it.
Joey, what a show.
I love being on the show, as always. It's such a blast. Thank you so much, actor.
And Scott, thank you so much for being flawless on the boards. That's going to do it for us. Thank you for listening to The Red Zone on 103.3.